good to have you here in studio. Yuka, so you're starting with the latest on that extravagant raid at the Louvre. We're more than 2 days on now at this point.
That's right. Well, and now the first estimate on the stolen, on the value of the stolen crown jewels has come out. According to the Paris prosecutor, they're worth 88 million euros. But that monetary estimate does not include the historical value for France, which to many, of course, is priceless. And they weren't insured. Rachel Griffith says more.
Precious jewels that once adorned French royalty, now stolen from the world's most visited museum. While this imposing crown was spared, the pearl diadem is gone. The price tag, 88 million euros. But the robbers may not line their pockets as quickly as they hoped.
The wrongdoers who took these gems won't earn 88 million euros if they had the very bad idea of disassembling these jewels. We can perhaps hope that they'll think about this and won't destroy these jewels without rhyme or reason.
It comes after France's culture minister said the security apparatus at the Louvre were working properly during the theft, after questions emerged about faulty security cameras.
Were the security systems at the Louvre Museum faulty? No, they were not faulty. That is a fact. The security systems at the Louvre Museum functioned. As you know, I have initiated an administrative investigation that will be conducted with full transparency and reveal the details of the events that occurred last Sunday.
What's more, the stolen jewels were not insured, like all artworks in national museums, according to the government. Curators say France's heritage isn't just cultural pride, it's an economic asset, and protecting it demands real investment.
In other business news, Yuka, you're turning to Japan. It has its first female prime minister. She's facing a lot of economic challenges right off the bat.
Her name is Sanae Takaichi, and she does face tough times ahead as her party doesn't control parliament at the moment. After losing a long-time coalition partner over policy differences, she forged a new partnership with right-wing populist Ishin no Kai, agreeing to pursue a lot of its political and economic agenda. Some tax cuts and subsidies to ease the cost of living are among her immediate priorities, but other campaign pledges and those of the Ishin party may be harder to realise. Let's take a listen to what she had to say earlier today.
We will implement solid measures to address the rising prices faced by the Japanese people. We intend to swiftly abolish the temporary gasoline tax. The goal is to increase take-home income and reduce household burdens. This is the core of our economic measures.
And Yuka, she said her political role model is Margaret Thatcher. She's also a protege, though, of the late former Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and a strong supporter of his economic policies.
That's right. Those economic policies were called Abenomics, and they were launched in 2012 to try and boost growth with an ultra-easy monetary policy, fiscal stimulus and investments. While it did result in years of negative interest rates, it fell short of spurring growth as much as it hoped. The new Sanaenomics, as Takaichi herself calls it, is set to look similar to Abenomics on fiscal expansion and monetary easing, but it comes against a very different economic backdrop. At the end of 2012, Japan was in a deflationary spiral with negative inflation. It's now close to plus 3%, not necessarily due to stronger economic activity, but rather driven by rising import costs. And the yen is a lot weaker against the dollar now, while GDP growth has remained slow. All the promised stimulus measures could add to Japan's debt pile. It's already the highest among major economies at 230% of GDP. By comparison, France's debt is 115% of GDP and it's at the heart of political turmoil. Japan is not considered at risk of default, however, chiefly because its debt is issued in its own currency and mostly held by domestic investors and the Bank of Japan. Takaichi has pledged to reduce Japan's net debt, which subtracts the government's total financial assets from its debt obligations. But that's an unconventional measure of fiscal health, as assets such as pension funds cannot really be used to pay back the debt. A more common indicator is the primary balance, which is the difference between a country's tax revenue and its spending. On this front, nearly a third of Japan's budget is financed by new debt. Now, Japanese stocks continued to rise on Tuesday, with the Nikkei closing at another record high amid expectations of fiscal expansion. Global stocks mostly traded in positive territory this Tuesday, but Wall Street ended trading on a mixed note, with the Nasdaq going into the red and the S&P 500 flat at the close. And that's it from the Business Desk.
Thanks so much, Yuka.